May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week is not only Reformation Sunday, it is a big Reformation Sunday. This week marks 499 years since the events to which our denomination traces its roots. We are on the eve of 500 years of this thing called Lutheranism. So, what does it mean to be a Lutheran? When someone asks you why you go to a Lutheran church, what do you say? Or does no one even notice? Why do we dust off these old hymns, you know, that are kind of hard to sing and jump around and bust out our red paraments every fall to commemorate Reformation Sunday? Nearly 500 years later, does the Reformation still matter? This week, I had a lot of time to consider what it means to be Lutheran. It was the topic of a retreat I attended with other pastors from around our synod. At the retreat, six clergy from a wide range of backgrounds told a little bit of their story and how they became affiliated with this thing called Lutheranism and how their life experiences contributed to their understanding of what it means to be Lutheran. Some of them were lifelong Lutherans, born and baptized into the Lutheran Church, either right here in New York or in Guyana in South America, or in Tanzania in Africa. Some of them never even stepped foot inside a church until they were well into adulthood. Some left the faith of their youth to wander for years before returning to the religion of their childhood for one reason or another. As these six pastors shared their stories, a friend of mine saw a common thread weaving through each of them. And the common thread wasn't just the Lutheran faith. It wasn't even Holy Communion. The common thread wasn't our worship or singing or the hymns that we have. It wasn't even what you might expect that Alana and I talked about. It wasn't even baptism. The one thing that all six of these conversations had in common was that they talked about a door. A door. Each of these six very, very different stories referenced a door. And I want to share with you today just three, or part of three, of those stories. The first story was about a young pastor named Becky. Becky is about my age, and Becky didn't grow up in the church. Her family wasn't really religious at all. Her parents did occasionally take her and her sister to a Unitarian Sunday school so that they might get a little bit of what religion was about. But Becky was largely uninterested. Her fond memories of Sunday mornings mostly involve pancakes and sitting around the kitchen table together. Becky grew up and went to college. In college, to fulfill a credit, she took a course on Judaism. Becky fell in love. She was amazed by the scripture and the depth of the tradition and theological reflection. Becky took every single course on Judaism that her college offered. And when she ran out of those, she turned to courses on Christianity. Becky graduated from college and moved to Brooklyn, where her academic interest in religion continued, but it was academic only. She never had stepped foot inside a church. She read what she could on her own, and she struck up conversations with like-minded people at the nonprofit where she worked. One week, a colleague invited Becky to attend church with his girlfriend. His girlfriend just happened to be a Lutheran church. from that very first Sunday, as a 20-something, with little to no church experience in her past, Becky was captivated. She was drawn in by the liturgy. As a gay woman, she was intrigued by this church's intentional welcome of gay and lesbian people. Her questions and curiosities were being fed. And doors started to open. And the people of the congregation invited her to step right through. Would she come back to worship? Would she join them for coffee hour? Would she participate in their fundraiser for a local charity? Would she like to teach Sunday school? One at a time, door after door after door. The people of this congregation didn't pause to ask if she belonged. They didn't stop to check her Lutheran credentials. They just invited her in. There was much, much more to Becky's story, but suffice it to say that soon Becky was baptized. And a few years later, she started seminary. And now she is ordained as a Lutheran minister. All because one congregation opened their door to her. The second story is about a pastor named Penny. Penny is from Tanzania, and she grew up from the day of her birth in a Lutheran family, a family where her father was a Lutheran pastor. Penny spoke a lot about Lutheranism in her home country. Tanzania, in fact, and many other African countries are the place in the world where Lutheranism is growing rapidly. Babies baptized every Sunday, pews always filled. Penny spoke of going back to Tanzania in recent years and speaking with people who attended Lutheran church there. She met a young woman with HIV. As the woman began to get more and more ill, she fell away from church attendance. Her fellow church members did not seek her out or check in. But the Lutheran church down the road, of which she was not a part, did. They helped her get to the clinic. They made sure she had food and her medication, even when she wasn't up to going out. The local congregation cared for her out of their own pockets and gave her whatever they could. Penny also spoke of another woman, a single mother, who with a few children of her own to care for, she was a Lutheran herself, when her neighbors, a mother and a father, both died of AIDS, she took in their children as well. They became her own, and she cared for them and loved them as dearly as she loved her own biological children. Penny really wanted to remind us pastors that as Lutherans, we are meant to open our doors. We are meant to open our doors and to see the needs of our neighbors and to respond with mercy and care. The third story is about a pastor named Peter. And Peter described his own life and his path to Lutheran ministry as rather unremarkable. Peter grew up in a German Lutheran family in Queens. He attended Wagner College in Staten Island, a Lutheran college. As his time at Wagner drew to a close, he thought to himself, well, what are you supposed to do after going to a Lutheran college? Being a pastor sounded about as good to Peter as anything else, so off he went to seminary. Peter told the story of a time many, many years ago now when he worked as a vicar or a seminary intern getting that real-life experience before ordination. He said that the congregation where he was a vicar had the longest list of shut-ins and homebound members to visit that he had ever seen. In his little seminary mind, it looked like it must have about 90 people on this list. And the pastor made it a priority to visit every single person once a month. So when Peter showed up for his internship, he was given the list of his shut-ins to visit that very first month. Peter went to the assisted living community nearby to visit a man named Randolph. He tentatively opened the door, and Randolph, a fine-looking older man, was sitting across the room looking out the window. Peter greeted him enthusiastically and introduced himself. "Hello, I'm Peter, the new intern at church, the new vicar. It's nice to meet you." "It's a nice day," Randolph responded. And it was a beautiful fall day. So Peter responded, "Yes, it is a nice day." Peter took a seat by Randolph and asked him, "How long have you been a member of the church?" And Randolph smiled at him and said, "It's a nice day." Peter continued chatting about the church, and when he paused for a moment, Randolph nodded and said, "It's a nice day." Peter nodded slowly. He quickly wrapped up the visit with a prayer and was on his way. He wondered if his supervisor, the pastor, would continue to waste his time with these types of visits, with visits that clearly made no difference and no impact. Well, about a month later, the pastor returned to church after his turn to visit Randolph, and he said, "Peter, Randolph remembered you." Peter wanted us to know that at the core, that this was the core of being Lutheran to him, treating every single person that we might meet as a fellow child of God, as someone redeemed and restored by the same grace that we are. It is strange that my friend saw this one particular thread running through all these very different stories of Lutheran identity. It's strange that all of the stories mentioned a door. A door opened an invitation. A door opened to the needs of others. A door opened to another child of God. It is strange because the event that took place 499 years from tomorrow also involved a door. 499 years ago tomorrow, Martin Luther placed his 95 theses on the door of the local church. 95 reforms he believed the church desperately needed. That door was for the public posting of academic writings, so Luther hoped that others might read and debate his ideas in a quiet, academic setting. He had no idea the fire this would ignite in his own day. He did not then or years afterward intend to create a separate church body. He certainly did not want that tradition remembered in his name. Luther had no idea that this act would hundreds of years later still be remembered as the spark of the Protestant Reformation, an event that would come to change the course of church history and, in fact, much of the Western world. If we are to continue in this tradition, if we're to continue to wrestle with what it means to be Lutheran as the clergy did this week, then there must be a reason for it. Something unique or important about what Lutheranism has to say to the world. Because we are indeed Christians first, Christians above all, and united with all other Christians in the body of Christ. We hold so much in common with our brothers and sisters. So if we're going to distinguish ourselves not just as St. Stephen's Christian Church, but as St. Stephen's Lutheran Church, there had better be a good reason for it. Our thinking and believing and living as Lutheran Christians matters, because as Lutheran Christians, we know that it is God who opens the door. In a world that tells us that it is what we accomplish that matters, it is what we do that makes us who we are, that we are measured by what we own and what we achieve, that we are, as Lutheran Christians, are called to assert time and again, as Luther did 499 years ago, that it is not what we do that matters. It is what God has done that matters. We are called to remind our brothers and sisters that God gives us this faith as a gift, unearned and undeserved. We have faith not because we've worked harder, because we've read our Bible and said our prayers and learned our Lutheran history. No, no, no. We have faith because God is gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. We are justified not because we follow God's laws and keep the commandments, but because God's grace makes it so. Because in Jesus, God accomplished the only thing that needs accomplishing. God opens the door to salvation, to eternal life, to freedom here and now for us in this life. And that enables us, in total freedom, to open the door for others, to open the doors of our own congregation and to invite others in before we know a single thing about them. To open our doors to neighbors in need and give out of what God has first given us. To open our doors and greet whoever happens to be on the other side as a fellow child of God, redeemed by the same grace we are. If someone asked you to tell your story of how you ended up in this Lutheran church, what would it be? What would you tell them? What would you say? Would it be rather unremarkable, like Peter's story? Would it be an international story, like Penny's? Would it be a tale with a surprise ending, like Becky's? In Christ, God opens the door for each of us, no matter who we are and where we come from. May we, as Lutheran Christians, proclaim that with our very lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.